بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We continue the explanation on the 40 Nawawi hadith, and we have reached hadith 33. عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لو يعطى الناس بدعواهم لادعى رجال أموال قوم ودماءهم ولكن البينة على المدعي واليمين على من أنكر. حديث حسن رواه البيهقي هكذا بعضه في الصحيحين. On the authority of Ibn Abbas رضي الله تعالى عنهما, may Allah be pleased with both of them, that the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, were people to be given in accordance with their claim, men would claim the fortunes and lives of other people, but the onus of proof is on the claimant. وَالْيَمِينُ عَلَى مَنْ أَنْكَرَ, and the taking of an oath is incumbent upon who? The one who denies. This is a hadith on Hassan, رواه البيهقي. And some parts of this hadith is in الصحيحين. لَوْ يُعْطَى, were people to be given, like the rights given to the judges and those who make reconciliation between people, then men would claim the fortunes and lives of other people, meaning they would claim things either for them or negating to have things in their possession which belongs to others. For example, anyone may claim, I demand from such and such $1,000. Or he denies owing anyone or someone $1,000. He claims that he paid it back, or that he never took it in the first place. This is negation. So men would claim the fortunes of and lives of other people, meaning those men who don't fear Allah. Those who don't fear Allah Azza wa Jal, as to those who have awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would not claim that which is not their property, nor they will claim the lives of others. Here, men would claim the fortunes and lives of other people, for example, saying, this man killed my father, this man killed my son, this man killed my brother, and so forth. This man caused me injury. This is kind of blood. Also, men would claim the fortunes of others, because those who don't fear Allah Azza wa Jal, they don't care to claim lives, blood, or fortunes. However, the onus of proof by which the truth is manifested in affirming the claims relies upon the claimant. And the yameen, taking of an oath, is incumbent upon the one who denies. So there is a claimant and a defendant, accused. The claimant must establish the proof, and the accused should take the oath to ward off the claim, This hadith is a great foundation in qada, in judgments. And this is a great foundation to the judge and for also to those who make reconciliation between people. From the benefits of this hadith, first, claims could be in matters of fortunes and in blood. And with respect to fortunes, it could be in money itself or benefits. Like, for example, someone claiming that such and such person rented him his house for 1 year. So this is a benefit of a property. Also, it could be in or could be related to rights, حقوق. Like a man claiming that his wife is not establishing his rights, is not fulfilling his rights, and the opposite. She claiming the opposite. So, claiming is a vast matter. But this is how it is dealt with respect to this, how it is dealt with in Sharia. In this statement of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he used the example of wealth and blood, but this is not restricted to wealth and blood, because the claims can cover many other things. The second benefit, the Sharia came to protect people's properties and their blood from abuse. Third, the proof is upon the claimant, and the proof has different types to it. From that is the testimony, al-shahada. قال الله تعالى in Surah Al-Baqarah in 282, واستشهدوا شهيدين من رجالكم فإن لم يكونا رجلين فرجل وامرأتان ممن ترضون من الشهداء. واستشهدوا شهيدين من رجالكم فإن لم يكونا رجلين فرجل وامرأتان ممن ترضون من الشهداء. And get two witnesses out of your own men, and if there are not two men available, then a man and two women, such as you agree for witnesses, so that if one of them, two women, errs, the other can remind her. And from the types of al-bayyin and the proofs, is the factual circumstances. These are considered as bayyinat, proofs. Example: someone who does not possess a turban, running after a man with a turban on his head and a turban in his hands, saying, "Oh, such and such, give me my turban." So this one who doesn't have a turban, he has the circumstantial fact as apparent, because the one chaste has a turban on his head and a turban in his hand. And it is not the custom of people that the person carries a turban in his hand and one on his head. So, here, the testimony for the proof for the claimant is the factual circumstances. This is stronger. So the one who claims that the turban in the hands of the one running away, he is the one who has the circumstantial proof. This, however, does not prevent that we may call upon the one accused to take an oath that this is his turban. A similar example, if, for example, a man and his wife disagreed concerning the utensils at home, and the wife said, "These are mine," and the husband said, "These are mine." So we check the utensils. If they were of the type used by men, then it is for the husband. And if they are of the type used by women, then they are for the woman. And if they are useful for both, then here the proof is required from the claimant. So here we conclude, therefore, that circumstantial indications and linkages are proofs, and thus proofs are not limited to witnesses. And from the examples on consideration of the circumstantial linkages is the story of Sulaiman alayhi salam with the two women who went to the wild, and they had their children with them. And this hadith is in Al-Bukhari and in Muslim. In Bukhari in volume 4, 637, there were two men, each of whom, or two women rather, each of whom had a child with her. A wolf came and took away the child of one of them, whereupon the other said, "It has taken your child." The first said, "But it has taken your child." So they both carried the case before Prophet David alayhi salam, who judged that the living child be given to the elder lady. So both of them went to Solomon alayhi salam, Sulaiman, the son of Dawood alayhi salam, and informed him of the case. He said, "Bring me a knife. Bring me a knife, so as to cut the child into two pieces and distribute it between them." The younger lady said, "May Allah be merciful to you. May Allah be merciful to you. Don't do that. For it is her," meaning the other lady's child. So he gave the child to the younger lady. Why? Because the circumstantial linkage, the apparent one, indicates that the child is hers, the younger child, because she was moved by her mercy and came to the conclusion that the child being alive and with the other elder lady is more beloved than him losing his life. And the elder one did not care concerning that because her son was taken by the wolf. So you understand now how, through this circumstantial linkage, the proof was established. Clear to you? Similarly, the story of Yusuf alayhi salam with the woman of the Egyptian Al-Aziz, the one in authority in Egypt, when Yusuf alayhi salam was there, when he said to the ruler, to the judge, or when the judge said, as in Surah Yusuf, in verse 26-28, إِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ قُبُلٍ فَصَدَقَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. It was she that sought to seduce me, and a witness of her household bore witness, saying, if it be that his shirt is torn from the front, then her tale is true, and he is a liar. وَإِنْ كَانَ قَمِيصُهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ فَكَذَبَتْ وَهُوَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. But if it be that his shirt is torn from the back, then she has told a lie, and he is speaking the truth. فَلَمَّا رَآ قَمِيصَهُ قُدَّ مِنْ دُبُرٍ قَالَ إِنَّهُ مِنْ كَيْدِكُنْ إِنَّ كَيْدَكُنَّ عَظِيمٌ. So when he, her husband, saw his Yusuf's shirt torn at the back, he said, surely it is a plot of you, woman, certainly mighty is your plot. And also, as an example, is a woman claiming that her husband for one whole year did not spend upon her, while it is seen and witnessed that he comes home with bread and food and all that which is needed by the household, and there is no one in this house except him and his wife. And he said that he spends. So here the circumstantial linkage is apparent that it is with the husband. So we don't accept her claim, even though the origin is, in origin there is none spending. However, here we have a strong apparent circumstantial linkage, that is, seeing the man entering the home with bread and with food and drinks and so forth that is needed. Also, now with respect to another matter, however, and this matter is known as the oath for establishing the responsibility of murders, fighting requital, and bloodwit. In this case, people from a certain tribe, let's say, claim that another tribe with whom they had enmity, with whom they have enmity, they claimed that their murdered person was killed by this other tribe. And they say that such and such person from this other tribe killed him. So here we have a claimant and accused. The claimant are the family related to the murdered. And the accused are the people of the other tribe. So if we say that the claim is upon the proof is upon the claimant, and the oath is upon the one who denies, and if we say that the proof is not necessarily the witness, but it is that which makes the truth clear, then the ruling will differ. So if we say that the proof is the witness, we would say to the claimant, bring your proof that such and such killed him, otherwise there is nothing upon you. However, the sunnah came in contrast to this. It came that the claimant, 50 of them must take an oath that such and such person killed their man. So if they take the oath, they will be exactly as witnesses. If they take the oath, then they will be exactly as witnesses. And in this case, the punishment will be given upon the one whom they assigned. And this, in fact, occurred during the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and he decreed by it. And it is in Sahih al-Bukhari and in Sahih Muslim. On the authority of Rafi' bin Khadij and Sahl bin Abi Hatma, said that Abdullah bin Sahl and Muhaysa ibn Mas'ud went to Khaybar, and they dispersed in the gardens of the date palm trees. Abdullah bin Sahl was murdered. Abdullah bin Sahl was murdered. Then Abdullah bin Sahl wa Huwaysa and Huwaysa and Muhaysa, the two sons of Mas'ud, came to the Prophet ﷺ and spoke about the case of their murdered friend. Abdul Rahman, who was the youngest of them all, started talking. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Let the older among you speak first." So they spoke about the case of their murdered friend. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Will 50 of you take an oath whereby you will have the right to receive the blood money of your murdered man?" Or said your murdered companion. They said, "O Allah's Messenger, the murder was a thing we did not witness. The murder was a thing we did not witness." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Then the Jews will release you from the oath if 50 of them, the Jews, should take an oath to contradict your claim." Because, you know, he was killed in Khaybar, and Khaybar is the place of the Jews. So he said, "Then the Jews will release you from the oath if 50 of them, the Jews, should take an oath to contradict your claim." They said, "O Allah's Messenger, they are disbelievers, and they will take a false oath," meaning. So then the Prophet ﷺ himself paid the blood money to them. Paid the blood money to them. So here, the sunnah in this case is perfectly in agreement with the reality. Why? Because the claimant have a circumstantial linkage. Indicating that the other people killed their men. This is the enmity linkage. This is the enmity between the tribes. And here we don't say, go bring your witnesses, because the circumstantial linkage is stronger than the witnesses. But if someone says, why then 50 oaths here? The answer is, this is to show the gravity of blood and killing. So it wouldn't be said just to go and make one oath and kill the accused. Now, if you also ask the question, how could it be that the relatives of the murdered make an oath that such and such person killed their man and they don't know about him? The answer is, we don't admit that they don't know anything about him. It is possible that they had seen him killing their man. And if we, for the sake of argument, or in reality, say that they didn't see, then here they have the right to make the oath based upon most likelihood, most probability, and the claim is established. And making an oath based upon most likelihood is permissible. From the benefits is, if the one who is asked to make an oath says, I'm not going to take an oath, then here, if he refuses, then he refuses to do that which is an obligation upon him. So, it will be judged that he refused to testify in court. It will be deduced that he refused to testify in court. And this brings the end of the points of benefit regarding this hadith. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa'alam wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.